I'm Lou Conran.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who've been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that we know nothing about the drinks that we love to quaff, and that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor out there that we are not acquainted with.
And as we hate missing out, we thought we'd invite some celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us while we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
And it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet on a Monday night.
Heaven forbid.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Can't start, Louise. I'm too tired.
Oh, Sally, it must be awful being you. Why are you so tired?
Because I drove. If I was a truck driver, I would have been illegal yesterday, because I think I drove for about 11 hours, like with breaks of gigs in between. I would have had a little thing on my dashboard that would have told me to pull over and have a sleep.
Yeah, would you were you driving in your Canadian shirt that you're adorning now? Because that would make you a real truck driver, I think.
Well, do you know what? I wasn't actually, but I was driving in another Canadian shirt with my vintage look Wrangler's jeans as well.
Oh, Sally.
All from Lamley's in Western Canada.
Oh, God, Calgary. It's almost like you've been to Canada, isn't it?
Sally? Have you not been to Canada?
No, Sally. Do you know where I've been?
Where have you been? Have you been to Staffordshire?
I've been to Staffordshire, but I've never been to me.
Thank you.
A lovely chat with Jeff, didn't we?
Jeff Norcott. It's fantastic with his lager. His simple, predictable lager. Lovely, lovely, wasn't it? And he was full of opinions. Actually, no, not opinions. He likes to debate an answer, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He likes to debate. He likes to think of every angle of everything before he gives an answer.
And that's quite unusual, because everything we discussed, everything that we presented to him in quite a lot of detail, Sally, rarely get, which, you know, it's normally just drunken mumblings from you and I. But this time,
clarity was achieved.
There you go. That's the word I'm looking for in my menopausal head. Clarity. Shall we listen to it?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Shall we crack straight on, Lou?
Yes, Sally, why don't we just crack straight on, Sally?
With a lager drink. With somebody who I thought would drink a lager when I asked him. I thought it's got to be a lager. It's Jeff Norcott.
It is Jeff Norcott. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Well, predictable, it seems.
No, I had you down as a whiskey man.
No, you didn't.
I thought you'd be a whiskey and coke or something like that.
It's really interesting you say that, because I'm writing something at the moment. I have an issue with whiskey, because I feel that it represents maturity, you know. So you get that bloke, it's sort of, there's levels of middle age, and there'll just be a guy that will suddenly start talking about the difference between single or double malt. And you can, even if he's not wearing a cardigan, you can sort of imagine one on him, you know. So I don't doubt that on paper, I absolutely should be a whiskey guy. But it's bound up in a sort of Peter Pan need to stick with lager.
With the lads. You've got to stay with the lads, haven't you, Jeff? Yeah.
Retain your youth.
Yeah. I do take a lot of pleasure in being a basic bitch in many ways. You know, there was a story about the Tesco meal deal the other day that said, they sort of said, what was the most frequent combination of what people buy? And it was exactly what I have for lunch every day. I have more or less every day, I have ham and cheese sandwich, cheese and onion crisps, and Diet Coke. More or less every day.
Ham and cheese?
And then cheese again on the old crisps.
But the cheese on the crisps is not really cheese. I don't know what I mean, it doesn't even, it sort of alludes to the idea of cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nice though, isn't it? I mean, it's very, well, I suppose it's safe, isn't it, Jeff? It's safe.
It is.
That meal is quite safe. So,
you know where you are with a meal deal, though, don't you? I love a meal deal. Marks and Spencer, simply, I do. Simply Food.
Everyone likes saying the word meal deal. It's something uniquely British. It speaks to our love of a bargain. I remember, and this is, I'm not going to get political, I promise. I'm feeling less political these days. But I remember there was something that Jeremy Corbyn once tried to say about the kind of Brexit that the Tories were going to do. And he said they're going to make Britain the bargain bucket of Europe. And I just thought, if you want to make people opposed to an idea, don't invoke something that people love.
KFC.
People who doesn't love, but yeah.
Bucket
just pick
chicken.
Different words, man.
Yeah. And bargain as well. Imagine getting a bucket of chicken on a deal.
Everyone loves a bargain.
Yeah, of course.
They
you're absolutely
do.
Right. So Jeff, we've been talking that you're quite you're not a simple bloke, a predictable bloke. Mm.
Yeah.
With your lager. But what is the lager of choice you've got?
Well, it is the lager I'm supposed to like. So at the moment, a guy like me is supposed to like Peroni. That's what the marketing men and women, but it doesn't alliterate as well. So you've got, I can't because I mean, this is, I'm not that old school that I'll just down a Peroni. Oh, but for the podcast, you need me to pretend that I'm having one.
No,
right. Okay.
We'll keep that in. We'll definitely keep
Yeah, we'll keep
in.
That in.
Yeah. Because I absolutely wouldn't do that. But yeah, Peroni, that's what they, every once in a while in my life, there's been lagers that you're supposed to like. Once upon a time, it was Foster's. Then it was German beers like Beck's and Michelob. And then it was Czech. And then it was Mexican, you know. And right now, it does seem to be that the basic bitches are supposed to like Italian. So it's either Peroni or Moretti.
Is that right?
Yes.
If you look at the beer pumps in pubs, the pumps for Peroni are these incredible contraptions. They look like some sort of steampunk type exhibit. They are, and it's just saying, you're supposed to like this right now. This is what you're supposed to drink.
Where I live, Jeff, right, we don't have Wi-Fi. We don't have we have very little here. But what we do have in several of the pubs is one of those magic machines for the Peroni. You see, people don't want the internet, but they do want a fancy schmancy beer.
See what I mean? The idea of Peroni. And I'm sure that the next beer that everyone's supposed to like will be, you know, they'll have an even bigger pump. It'll probably take up the whole saloon bar.
It'll just be a pump and we'll all sit in the barrel, won't we? That's going to happen.
Some weird kind of lock-in.
Yeah.
I went to a pub quite recently and they had like a magic Guinness device. So it was like a can of Guinness, but without the top on it. You inserted the can in, you lowered something, pressed some buttons and it pierced the can and poured the perfect pint of Guinness out of this can. I mean, it was.
They're getting away with getting rid of bar staff now, aren't they?
Why?
Yeah.
Guinness is another thing that I feel like I should like, but I don't know. I mean, lager, I suppose its whole inception was to be easy to drink. Like that was the nature behind it. Something you could drink for a whole day. So that's I like that logic. I like the logic. I don't want to be challenged. I mean, all these craft beers where they want to challenge you with toffee. No, I don't wish to be challenged by a drink.
You just you like what you like, don't you, Jeff? You know you
like what I like. I mean, I felt very Yorkshire as I was about to go into that. But I mean, I've been thinking about the culture of drinking between, and I'm very gender stereotypical, by the way, so apologies up front for that. But if you think broadly speaking, what women and men enjoy, women have got a far healthier relationship with alcohol to a point, is that they like drinks to be, I mean, present company excluded, but
thank you.
But women like drinks
I've
to be fun, right? They are. If we're going
to
be stereotypical, and obviously there are exceptions to this, but fizzy, sweet cocktails, you know, they got funky names. They're a laugh. You know, women's alcoholism is a lot more fun than men's because it's got a sense of fun about it. But whereas there's something about beer and even whiskey, there's a sort of dourness about it. Like you've got to learn to love it and grimace a little bit and push through it.
I have to say, Jeff, that I agree with you there because the other day Sally was in my house and we got very giddy, didn't we? And we what we do is when Sally comes around, we get drunk and then we become confident and we email guests. And then at some point of the night, one of us will get our tits out and we'll go, "You've got great tits," and then we'll go to sleep. And that's exactly what happened at Alcoholism, Sally. We have a great time, don't we?
Yeah, we
I mean, it's all fun. You know, that's the culture we live in now. That's fun, that's great. That's feminism in many ways. Yeah. Showing each other your tits and then passing out.
Yeah, and then in the morning receiving emails from people that we don't know who they're from.
I went to Lou, "Who's Maxwell?" And she went, "Oh, that'd be John Cleese's agent, Sally." I don't remember. Oh, okay. So he doesn't want to do the podcast. No, is that what they're saying?
Funnily. Okay. Yeah. And then we emailed Nicola Sturgeon as well, didn't we?
Still waiting on a response.
We're still waiting on Nicola.
She'll come back to us.
I'll be a bit of a showbiz pal of Nicola Sturgeon at the Fringe this year. I did a panel chat thing with her. And I got to say, she seemed cagey about me at first.
Yeah.
There's a very funny photo, which if your listeners can be bothered, is to look at my Instagram. I don't post very often, so you won't have trouble finding it. So there's a photo. There's Nicola Sturgeon, Aisha Hazariku, who's an excellent comic and a left-wing commentator, and Rosie Hull, excellent comic, left-wing, and then me standing about a yard to one side.
With some sort of virus that you're not allowed near them.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I think, you know, look, I'll put it this way. When Nicholas, some politicians affect a dislike for certain things for political reasons. I think Nicola's being honest about
how she
feels.
She just didn't like you. She just
doesn't like the Tories. I mean, not massive fan of England, I would say, on balance, you know. So but yeah, in fairness to her, you know, once I'd got a few laughs with the audience, she I don't know, she seemed to loosen up. We were good pals by the end.
Jeff, that being the case, would you just drop her a message and ask her to do our podcast, please? Thank you. That'd be great.
I will. Yeah,
and we'll
let
her know that you drank an Italian beer if you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, is that supposed to sort of suggest that I'm not like your normal guy? I mean, if anything, that might confirm everything she ever thought about me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a good point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jeff, you enjoy a drink, don't you, generally?
Very much so, yeah.
Have you got
binge
some
drinker.
Oh, are you? Brilliant. Are you on and off then? You're like, I can't drink anymore. I've got to have it. Like, you know how people go, "I'm having a month off," and then you go back on it.
So what often happens is I don't drink much during the week. And if I'm busy, it's not a problem to not drink at all. And then I'll have a big day out. I like drinking days to start early, especially in middle age, because the idea is early start, early finish. But what it really means is you just drink longer because you stay up as late as you previously did, but you started also at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
But there's something magical, I think, about, you know, heading into, this is an awful thing to say, but it's up there with as happy as I can be, is on a train into London with my wife for a daytime drinking session. You know, we both got the little plastic things out to have a little drink on the train on the way down. It doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Having a decent Leo Sayer is like me and the gentleman caller, we did that at the weekend, Jeff. And what a great day. What a great day. We were home and in bed by 9:30. Couldn't remember any of it, Jeff. Couldn't remember any of it. What was your training drink of choice then when you were growing up?
So cider, like a lot of people of my sort of vintage, I was lucky. I mean, I got to the height I am now, the monumental height of 5'8½, but I got to that height like by the age of 11 or something. So I was quite tall for a while. And I also, you know, I also sort of grew a beard pretty early. So I was able, I think when I was 14 was probably the best bit of my life actually, because I was the one that was able... Had a pipe as well, grandkids. but I was able to get alcohol for everyone, but most importantly for the girls. So I had some serious status at this point. And back then it was all cider, and it was K cider, which was a weird. I mean, just the fact it had that smoked black glass. I mean, it's just cider. It looked like cider. You know, it's very strong cider, but.
But I don't think I'm aware of that.
K cider, yeah, you are.
No, cider.
K. No. It had red lettering, didn't it? Red
K. The red lettering on the black background made it seem.
I'm going to Google that while you're chatting because I don't think I do remember it.
You'll know it. It was everywhere.
And, you know, cider does, I mean, it just gets you very drunk, doesn't it? I mean, that's one of the. I mean, three of those genuinely was a good night out. And so I stayed with that for a while. And then in the 90s, I mean, I'm definitely leading, you know, as a comic, I've always tried to push back against liberal orthodoxies. And this stuff that the 90s was this great decade. I mean, we had some of the worst alcohol, most disgusting drinks, 2020 Thunderbirds, awful stuff. Yeah. Vodka and orange. Everyone was on the vodka and orange. Yeah. What a disgusting.
Yeah, that
drink.
Is disgusting. It tastes like gone off orange juice, doesn't it? But yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. How old were you in the 90s?
Well, I was different ages at different points.
Teens to 20s.
Oh, of course
I guess.
You were.
Teens
yeah.
to 20s. Yeah.
Teens to 20s. Would have been 90. Started off 90. I was like 13, and that carried me all the way through to 21. So I suppose it was, my formative adult years.
Yeah, you see. So you don't really care what you're drinking then. So I think we look back at the 90s go, it was fantastic. Whereas people might go, what was that you were drinking? That's disgusting. We didn't care, did we?
No.
We were young. We just drinking
it. Snake bite and black and stuff. Ooh. But I think that, I suppose what me and my wife, we realised that there needed to be different kinds of alcohol available. So we're sort of making our own new drinks, mutant drinks, and eventually, better stuff came out that was a formal version of that. I remember the origin of the Smirnoff Ice was a fucking revolution.
My mate got married in the 90s, and she had she'd hired this boat across the Thames in Henley. Very nice. And she was so excited because the wine of choice at the wedding was Blossom Hill. And that was the expensive posh wine to drink. And now wouldn't even remove my makeup with it. Disgusting, isn't it?
I mean, that is the thing with alcohols, is that they do have their time in the sun as the aspirational brand.
What was in Smirnoff Ice? I know it was vodka, sugar. Obviously. Was it? But what else? Yeah. What else was in it? There must have been
lemon.
Some sort of mixer, wasn't there? Was it lemon?
There was a period where if you put the word ice at the end of anything, it made it instantly better.
Yeah.
Ice, strong but ice. And then I thought, well, it's only ice if you put ice in it. It's not like it's inherently icy.
No, that's only if it's
and
cold.
Then they would say, well, it's brewed over ice. Well, whatever coldness that gives it in the brewing process, that's gone long gone. It's completely fatuous. I think now, in a way, I think that people are far more discerning. In a way, and bringing it back to the beer of today, Peroni. Part of the reason that Peroni is a popular beer is it's got a lot of flavour to it. And people's palates, we're all eating more exotic and sort of flavoursome food. So if you was to put a Foster's in front of someone, I mean, back in the day, all the mainstream lagers didn't have any flavour at all. That was part of the point, was Foster's, Castlemaine, Carling, tastes of nothing, absolutely nothing. Hofmeister, they just didn't really taste of anything. So think something like a Moretti, and a Peroni. I mean, and also I love the advertisers as well, because there's session lagers now, but you see the advert for Moretti and there's all these young Italians there, sexy young men and women, just being responsible, having a chat. I thought, this is nothing like the context in which Brits will drink this drink.
We wouldn't bother drinking that, would we? If we just wanted to have a coffee, like a little chat, we'd have a coffee.
They're all being so grown up and just listening to each other and stuff. And I thought, like, maybe the first one's like that, but I guess as an aspirational brand, you can't really show people someone just standing in front of a fridge just looking for ham, because that'd be the end point.
Just looking for ham. But isn't that like, is it? Oh no, it's Spain that they do the bull run, isn't it? But the amount of British people that do that because they're fucked off their faces on shit beer. And the civilized Spaniards probably would just go, here they go. Let's release the bulls and let's kill the British. Because then, that's probably why they love it.
And then we'll enjoy this for the right reasons once we've got the British.
Yes, and we'll have a civilized chat.
We'll have a civilized watching.
Whilst looking good looking and being suave.
Well, is this, we do this with the Europeans though, don't we? We sort of fetishize them as all being sophisticated and handsome and sexy and responsible. And I don't know. I mean, we are a bit more knuckleheaded and meaty minded than the rest of Europe a bit, but I also think that there's a tendency like that this culture doesn't exist elsewhere. I mean, German, Dutch, Polish, there's a lot of certainly North European countries that have this culture. I think that we're probably the only culture where people stick flares up their arse and light them. Maybe that's our USP.
Have you ever done that, Jeff?
no, but I mean, I've seen such spectacles unfold, and I've egged them on. I've suggested it in some instances.
Great.
But I do love that about the British. It's a weird thing that I love, is that we are sort of quite savage in the, and obviously there's a tipping point where it can become unpleasant. But I was watching a clip on TikTok earlier. I'm on TikTok, by the way, despite being old, and there was a clip of Kendrick Lamar, and he was in this plastic box waiting to start a song, and there was just loads of lads behind him chanting, "Kendrick's in a box, in a box, Kendrick's in a box," and like just this ridiculous football chant. And I thought, that's what really makes us proud, isn't it? It's not the empire or the world wars. It's that sort of thing.
I don't even know who Kendrick Lamar is. So,
well, you've got to get on TikTok, mate. I mean, I only know you for this reason.
I am on TikTok, and I think I've got 200 followers now. So that's good.
You're breaking TikTok.
I am.
I'm on TikTok. I love TikTok. Oh, I could sit and watch the Primark hauls all day long.
Here we go again.
Oh, my God. These girls, all they do is they just talk you through what they've bought at Primark, and they hold it up, tell you how much it was, what size it is. I just sit there for hours watching that, what they've bought. Oh,
it is amazing, isn't it? I mean, we do talk about, like, you know, this thing of the liberal establishment and the gatekeepers of culture, and then I think, well, maybe there does need to be a balance, because social media suggests that if you left it to us, everything we watch would be shit. Like, if we were left to our own devices, it's Pets, do you know what I mean? It's punch-ups in car parks, it's the Primark videos. Yeah. We can't be trusted, really, to maintain a culture. So you do need some cultural overlords.
Sort of steering, moving us into different directions occasionally.
You wouldn't write a drama, like a 12-part drama, if we were left to our own devices, you know what I mean?
It'd be... Oh, if there was a drama, because the one thing I like watching on the TikTok and the stuff is people cleaning carpets and floors.
Satisfying.
Oh, I could watch that. If there was a sitcom about that, Jeff, could you write that, please? Put me and Sally in it.
But it would need to be like one of those really short things, you know. I mean, it's not a sitcom, really, is it? It's more of a home help thing, you know, like Kim and Aggie type. Or is Kim and Aggie the same person? I don't know. It's turn up. It's 7-minute floor wipe. And that'd be... Do it with a celebrity, you know what I mean? Like celebrity floor wipe. Just get, someone from Love Island.
Talking my language, Jeff.
Jeff, we could talk about TikTok all day, but I want to hear your drunk stories. Yes. That's really what I'm after at the moment.
Drunk stories.
Yeah, man, I know you've
got some. I've got a weird one. When I was staying, I don't know what people might think about me, but I'm very gay friendly. You know, very bit of a scene queen. And it started really because I was gigging. I still wanted to be sociable, and all my straight friends became boring. And at the time I was finishing gigs, the lads were just going out. So I hopped onto the gay scene, loved it. And then it became, you know, we were going to Ibiza with a bunch of gay lads. We've been staying in this gay hotel for years. And it is called a gay hotel, by the way. It's not the old-fashioned sort of teenage schoolboy way of saying, "Oh, so gay." I mean, it was a gay hotel. There's this one lad one day around the pool who was being a bit of I'd had a few beers, and he'd been on it, like, you know, he was off his face basically, and he was being quite unpleasant, and he was like he gobbed in the pool, which is a bit wrecked. Sorry to bring that in. And so no one was going in the pool, and it was really hot, and I thought, I'm not having that. You know what I mean? I'm British. No one dominates the pool. This is against my sense of fair play. So I jumped in and I swam past him, and just to show him that he couldn't dominate the pool, I gave him a little kick with my leg, and I was quite pleased with this. Not a kick as such, but just to like get out of the way, you know.
Yeah.
And then I went to do it again. He grabbed my leg, and then I sort of spluttered. It was quite embarrassing, really. A bit of water went up my nose, and then I sort of managed to recover. And I said, "You, mate." I said, "You're out of order. You know, the way you're behaving is not pleasant, and it's not fair to people around the pool." And he went, "Who are you, the king of the swimming pool?" And I was like, "Yeah," because I couldn't think of anything else to say, because it was actually quite a good line. And then he pushed me, right? And I didn't bargain for this. He wanted a fight. And then I pushed him back, and I was getting ready to square up. And then I looked down, and I could see his willy, basically, refracted through the water. And I thought, oh, shit, like, he's naked. And then I suddenly ran through the thing of, like, oh, my God, if we fight, and then, if people pull us apart and they go, right, what's going on here? And straight guy fighting a gay guy, a naked gay guy at a gay hotel.
Yeah.
I war gamed it and thought, it's not worth getting involved. Jeff, it's not worth getting involved.
Or you could have ended up making love.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, there is a homoerotic quality to this. Let's not pretend that there isn't. I don't know if it, you know, maybe you put someone in better shape than me in this idea and you're laughing. But I got back to my wife, and she was sunbathing around the corner, and she didn't know any of this drama had gone on. And you can imagine all the lads around the pool were sitting up like, oh, hello, it's getting a bit spicy. You know what I mean? A bit of drama around the pool late afternoon. And she just wanted to know where Solero was.
Is that what you call the willy?
Yeah. It's just reflected in the swimming pool with a bit of on it. Sorry about that. Oh,
but you know, that is that's a couple of, you know, it's a few pints in maybe the kind of, I mean, I stand by what I did. I thought he was being a really obnoxious guy. And eventually the guy that ran the bar area did remove this man and he was jeered on his way out.
Yeah.
Was it? Oh, so they were all on your side, but no.
Oh, yeah. No, I think people were just waiting for someone. And I thought, you know what? That's what we do.
Yeah. You know? You got in there, Jeff. You sorted the sitch.
Yeah. And then I ran away at the moment it seemed it could be politically incorrect.
Back to your strong wife.
Yeah.
She took over from there, didn't she?
Yeah. Was he marched out of the hotel in pants or naked?
I don't actually remember. I remember that he had look, it was cold, in fairness to him.
So you wouldn't have seen anything anyway.
Well, I mean, I was aware that he wasn't. I could, you know, see it. That's why it took me a while to work it out, because it wasn't obvious at first what I was looking at. And he'd had a big night, but he was just being unacceptable, you know. But it's best not. I mean, look, on reflection, maybe I should have left it to somebody else. But you know, that is, it's not how I was raised.
No, babes, you just dealt with it, didn't you, babes? You got in there, you sorted the sitch.
Do you know what's interesting was I told that story at an Edinburgh show in 2017, and I am not, because comedians always talk about their bad reviews, but one reviewer came and it's fair to say that she didn't like me. And she told that story. She gave me a 1-star review and she recounted that story as Jeff Norcott kicked a naked gay man in Ibiza and ran away.
So she did what you were, which is the reason why you stopped doing it.
I mean, what she said was borderline defamatory, but you know, what can you do? I was just about to tell another story and I realised this has an element of yobbishness.
If you met you probably would think, look, I mean, I know you, so I know you're not yobbish.
Yeah. I was watching Wimbledon Football Club. We were playing Aston Villa and we were 3-1 down. And we pulled a goal back to 3-2. And I'd had a couple of pints. And I said, if we go 3-3 here. And by the way, this was not a meaningful game. It was an end of season mid-table clash in front of roughly 6,000 people. It was just completely meaningless game. I said, if we go 3-3, I'm on the pitch. And everyone was like, fuck you, fuck off. I was like, no, I'm on the pitch. And then Vinnie Jones scored a deflected equaliser. And I was like, right, you know, you got to walk the walk. And I went down there and I got on the pitch. And it's so slippy. That's what you don't realise. That's why these guys are wearing studs. And I just slipped and basically skated my way over to Vinnie Jones.
Oh, what a dick.
I know. Didn't even get a proper hug off the players. Just kind of like just touched him on the shoulder and then turned around and there was a queue of stewards waiting there to chuck me out.
How embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. It's still on YouTube, though. And then they chucked me out. But what they hadn't realised was because there was only 5 minutes left, the gates were open at that point. So I just went back to my seat the other way. And scored a fourth goal, 1-4-3. Best night of my life.
Well, could you just explain what a deflective doodah is, please? I don't know what that is.
Just a deflected goal. So he took a shot and it come off one of the players' shins. So it created an extra little bit of drama, I suppose.
Oh, because it hurt somebody's leg.
It didn't hurt, Lou. Shin pads.
Oh, right. Do they wear the shin pads?
I guess so. I don't know. Do they wear shin pads?
Well, newspapers rolled up down the sock, Lou, you know.
Oh, is it? Oh, they must have, like, somebody to rub, like, vapor rub in their legs in the interval or something like that, mustn't
they? Interval. Oh, that was such a lovely thing to say. The interval.
The interval.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, this is how much...
Then they go backstage, don't they?
Yeah, they do, don't they? And then they get changed into their costumes.
Yeah.
And the director comes out. Yeah.
Yeah.
At halftime, you have a woman selling cigarettes and ice cream tubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Great. And then the stage manager will go, right, we need to move some of the stuff now because you're...
We'll change the set. We'll just make you all face the other way now.
Yeah, let's get the understudies on. Let's swap that one and put the understudies on. Yeah, that's great. Love football. Why haven't I thought about it like that before?
Sorry, I realised that I've taken this to a very bloody place. I'm trying. Oh, I'll tell you another drinking story, which again, I mean, I'm not going to come out of any of these in a good light, but I guess that's inevitable. Me and my wife, again, it's a gay story. We was was with the guys in Ibiza. We'd had a bit of a carve up in someone's hotel room one night. Had a great night, and then a couple of nights later, we were out in Ibiza town, and there was these lads sitting there at this bar, and they were a couple. And my wife said to me, and I swear to, I mean, it's going to sound like I'm making up like stereotypical gay names from like mid 90s American comedies, but their names were something like Antoine and Julio or something like that.
Brilliant.
And my wife said, oh, it's Anton and Julio. And I looked at them and I went, no, it's not. Because I was so drunk. I just was like, it's not them. She was like, definitely is. They've said that that's who they are. I know that's who they are. Why are you talking like this, Jeff? And I just wasn't having it. I was going, I just don't think it's them, babe. Just being weird. And at which point, my wife smacked me on the forehead to bring me round. Not violent. It's not violence. I realised. But we had a card system at that point. Whereas if I was being weird when I was drunk, she would give me a yellow card just to pull me round.
It's football again, isn't it?
It's football
again. You
really
tried to get off that subject, didn't you? You come straight back.
I'm just an arsehole. I mean, that is a possibility. But she gave me a straight red that night. Straight red.
Straight red. What does that mean? Yeah. What's the punishment?
That's it. Go home, Jeff. Go back to the hotel room. You're done, son.
And you do it. You do what you're told.
Yeah.
And did she stay out?
No, I think she eventually came, but only because she was latterly worried that I was just going to go to another bar independently, which I probably would have, in fairness.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd have to have packed up your PE kit in your little bag and then just trotted off home. You wouldn't have even got your halftime orange or anything like that, would you?
My grilled chicken to bring it bang up today.
Grilled chicken? Do they have that in the interval?
I think even that was like 15 years ago. I'm behind the football as well. But I would say this, I mean, in terms of drinking, I am a seasoned solo drinker. I'll happily go out, sit in a pub or even go to a nightclub on my own. I've done it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Sally, you'll have done
it's
that, though, won't you?
I have. I've been to nightclubs on my own. When I was in the 90s, really, when I was like in Spain and played Valencia, I remember there was clubs.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
On the beach, it was amazing, and I ended up there on my own. Whoever I was with, it was somebody I'd just met, and they went home, and I went, I'll find where you live, I'm staying, and I was dancing. It was great. Yeah, don't know if I would now.
So you stayed. I've set out on my own, knowing that I'm going to be. I mean, this is just, again, it's tried. I've done this relatively recently.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, I haven't gone there on my own. No. Yeah.
And also, I think it's, but on the other hand, I think what you did was more impressive because you didn't have mobile phones and social media. Because now you can stay in touch, you can communicate with people more or less continually.
Yeah. I had to remember where I was staying with the lovely taxi driver was driving me around for ages until I recognised a building.
Oh, Sally.
I know.
Sally. Me and the gentleman caller, I think it was the gentleman caller, because this is how drunk I was. We were talking about how, you know, like you get dogs chipped. We should have our partners chipped so that when they go missing, or if they go missing, we can, if they get handed into a police station, you just do a barcode and then
send them home. You can get those little Apple tags now, though, can't you? So you can do it with it like that, but it's connected to your phone. It's not on a central database, is it?
I think my wife, though, if I'm honest, she sort of locks the unpredictable part of me that will do stuff like that, because she doesn't, it's a bit of me she doesn't fully understand. Like, even I was in Dublin a couple of weeks ago doing gigs, and then you know, it's like if you've had a nice gig, the Friday wasn't straightforward, but the Saturday was a real belting gig. So I had a couple of pints very quickly afterwards. I mean, I don't know what that creates in your body, but I feel like it creates a new chemical that makes you think, I want to stay out. And so I was out drinking with a mate. He went home. I was like, I want some dance music because I love, you know, dance music. And then so I Googled what was on in Dublin and there was some Ukrainian techno on. Some Ukrainian techno. I went to it. I was thinking it'd be a nightclub. There'll be a queue. It wasn't. It was a pub that happened to have some Ukrainian techno on. So it's the weirdest thing. You had some old Irish duffers there playing dominoes and then just had like the most hardcore sort of 150 beats per minute techno you've ever heard. So, I just sat there and I had a couple of drinks and then I had a shot of tequila on my own. I thought, this really is sad. Go back to the hotel. And I did.
So I suppose you don't need to talk if you're playing dominoes, do you? It's all in the dots, isn't it? So the old people playing dominoes don't need to chat, do they? You can have the techno going. Well, makes sense.
Maybe it's a thing. Techno and dominoes.
Do you think it makes, you know, like if you have dance music on in the car, it makes you drive quicker?
It does.
Do you think like the old dears would like have that on in the background to just get the dominoes over and done with quicker? Come on.
Yeah, they were playing speed dominoes.
Yeah, because we don't know how long Barry's going to live for. So let's just get this down. Let's get it done. Yes.
I'm gonna butt in. I want to do this little. We do a little quiz, Jeff.
Speed round, Jeff. Imagine the Ukrainian trance behind this.
Yeah. White or red wine?
Red.
Lager or ale?
Lager.
Prosecco or cava?
Neither.
Whiskey or brandy?
Brandy.
Cosmopolitan or Long Island iced tea?
I'm really like ideologically against cocktails, so I think it'd be culturally insensitive to make me answer that.
I'm just going to pump that Ukrainian music back up. Yeah. Right, come on.
I'll do an espresso martini sometimes.
Yes. Yeah.
You can't change the question.
It's middle-aged cocaine, isn't it, espresso martini?
Yeah, it's great. Love those.
Tequila or Sambuca?
Well, both.
All right.
I mean, Sambuca is incredible. But I say to people, like, if they still want to go clubbing, but obviously they don't want to get involved in the chemical side of things, one Sambuca will give you 40 interesting minutes. It gives you just something. I used to call them game changers. I say, does anybody want a game changer? Because if you've been drinking for a while, a Sambuca would definitely make the next 40 minutes and you'd have a weird chat. You know, something's going to happen. But the hangover, I don't know if it's because of the concentration of sugar, is absolutely fucking brutal of Sambuca. I mean, it's unlike anything else I've ever experienced. Tequila, I don't know. It's like slightly more alkali or I don't know. What
I like
the word
tequila,
would be.
But I do like a Sambuca as well. All right. Coke or Diet Coke?
Diet Coke.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
I knew it was going to be two.
Of course, tea.
And Bongo or Kiora?
I mean, it does make you think in the current age we're at. I don't know. I would imagine they've got a different song on the advert these days.
You would let's like hope to think so. So let's hope so, eh?
I just don't know if they're allowed to do that anymore. So
I don't even know if they exist anymore. This is really showing our age, isn't it? Do they exist in Bongo?
I don't think they ever drank it in the Congo for a start.
No, I don't think they did.
I think you can't say that anymore. I'll go Kiora.
All right, then. Screw cap or cork?
What do you mean for wine?
Yeah.
Well, if it's fizzy, it's got to be a cork grid, isn't it? But for wine, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think the ritual of opening wine is a good thing. It depends how drunk I am, really. First drink at night, let's go cork. 4 a.m. Let's just go. Let's screw cap. Get it off. Let's get drinking again.
Yeah.
Draft beer or bottle beer?
So you know the lockdowns. Mm. I suddenly my weirdest thing that came out of that was I missed draft beer horrifically,
right.
And so ever since then, I would take more opportunities to have a pint than before because I guess there's a part of me that feels that I might be locked down again. And I remember my dad, because he was around in the era of rationing, he always put far too much butter on his bread and we used to take the piss out of him for it. But now I understand. He thought the butter might get taken away. I've got some sort of draft beer PTSD.
I think my granddad was the same, but with women. Yeah.
That's fair enough. I never thought about that idea.
Women were gonna run out.
Yeah.
Did they ration women? They said you can have half a pound a woman this week.
Yeah, just in case he tried to do as many as he could before he'd done them all.
Rather than the size of the woman, it was more the quantity.
Number of them rather than... Just in case. Yeah, it's just in case they got rationed. Do as many as he could. Come on. Yeah. Sorry. Go on, Sally.
It's all right. Gin or vodka?
Gin.
There's a weird thing with gin
where... Do you remember, like, it was really unfashionable for a long time?
Yes.
Somehow, it was like an old woman drink. It was seen to be an old woman drink. And then I don't know what changed.
It's marketing, isn't it?
I bet you any money, it was Tim and Simon on Sunday Brunch. They're geniuses at just making you go, see this thing from the past? That's cool again. Yeah. So they'll go, hey, black pudding is now super trendy. Yeah. You go, I need to have some fucking black pudding.
Yeah. Mm. And it's happening with rum now as well, isn't it? Rum's really come back in. It's very...
They'll find like different subgenres in rum that you didn't know about. Yeah. Like guava rum that's been around for years. It's, you know, it's a real connoisseur's choice. And you go... And then you get off on ordering it because you think, oh, I'll just order some guava rum. I bet that... Barman thinks I'm an awesome top guy.
Yeah.
Jeff, we had a guest on who gave us rum infused with cannabis.
It's nice.
Wow.
Yes, okay. It was delicious.
Infused, because I always think anything that's infused with cannabis is very hard to regulate the dosage.
We were all in hysterics
for quite some time. So I don't know whether that was the booze or the cannabis, but we had a lovely time, didn't we, Sally?
Oh, we did. We really did. Yeah.
Yes. So, yes. Continue. Sorry, Sally.
Tony Blair or Margaret Thatcher?
I mean, they're both Tories, really. So I'd go probably Blair, I think. Mm.
Yeah. Liz or Rishi?
I mean, Liz for the banter. I mean, it was fun while it lasted, wasn't it? Yeah. You know, they say it's like, you know, those rock stars that only have one album, but they burnt so brightly. Yeah. They were almost too crazy for this world. Yeah. I mean, that was Liz Truss. I do think that Liz Truss, she's such a strange character that if you said to me, like, her next job would be head of HR at a logistics firm in Chessington, I'd go, I can absolutely believe it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she could go literally, or for being like the manager of a regional manager for Carphone Warehouse, something like that.
Or serial killer.
Yes, or I'm going serial. Yeah.
Well, she's just an oddity. She just doesn't fit, does she? She's an oddity.
I mean, I always have to like check myself and go, because female politicians get called mad and demented, I think, more than male politicians.
Mm, yes.
But then I think the ones that get called mad or demented are mad or demented.
Theresa May didn't really get called that so much, did she? Do you think?
No. But yeah, she was very, she said she's very socially awkward.
Yeah.
And Liz Truss kind of, it's like they kept messing with the formula, but the worst bits of it.
Mm.
And then they'll go, well, there's Boris had a bit of that, Theresa had a bit of that. Let's put both of those bad bits into one thing. I mean, Sunak, I mean, now I think Sunak, Starmer, it's not going to be wildly different. We'll just get on and live our lives.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Well, in that case then, Sally, ask the next one.
Crisps or nuts?
See, this is how diverse we are, Jeff.
Yeah. That is not, for me, specific enough. I mean, crisps or nuts, okay. There's so...
Well, you like cheese saying, and onion, don't you?
If you're saying dry roasted nuts, absolutely. Yeah. If you're saying honey roasted cashews, nuts for people that don't like nuts, then we're going to have an issue.
Okay, all right then. What's your favourite nut then, Jeff? Is it the dry roasted?
A proper, of like, course. 1980s dry roasted.
Classic.
The one where you're licking the bag, you're just the dust of it.
Yeah.
Now dry roasted, it's the same as fucking Tang Fastics. They're not as savage as they were. Or maybe I've like sort of, you know, like a person that's indulged their kinks too much. I've had too many sour sweets. I've had too many dry roasted peanuts. I no longer feel anymore.
I think you're right because when I was younger, I was hyperactive and allergic to lots of food colourings and food additives. And dry roasted nuts, I'd have a bag of them, I'd be whizzing my teenage tits
there was
off.
Something.
But now, no. But I agree with you there. Yeah. Bland.
I think the less salty, sweet, or any of the good stuff, all the things that make things nice to eat, they are less so.
I think it's just that as you get older, your taste buds sort of dull a bit, don't they?
It's why old geezers get into Stilton, isn't it?
Yeah,
they almost have to risk some low-level anaphylactic shock just to get involved.
and they have low risk. And that's why people get hotter and hotter curries, don't they?
Oh, am I an old man then? Because
yeah,
I,
you are. Yeah.
I am. I can only eat hot curries, and I love Stilton, Jeff. I am an old man.
Yeah. No, it's just it's me. I see the world through a very strict gendered, and I'm constantly confounded. But then I always revert back to men do this, women do this, because it feels safer.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that stereotypical men do. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is the tricky thing, isn't it? You kind of go, but your experience of this in comedy at the moment is that you have to almost caveat what you're going to say with, like, you know, like the small print, terms and conditions. Yeah. So you go, so I think, and by the way, there are lots of exclusions to this. And hey, if you don't feel like this, that's fine too. But in my experience, and you go, is that all? Because the thing is, that does actually usually buy you the space. And you think, as a performer, you go, that's such a cheap trick. I haven't really changed anything there. All I've done is said, I really want to say this. So I will now put in the legal disclaimer and still say the same shit I would have said at Jonglers in 2005.
It's like when people mention a supermarket on the radio and they go, but other supermarkets are available. Yeah. Just covering all bases, isn't it, Jeff? That's what it is.
Covering all reactions in the audience.
Does anybody not think that other supermarkets are available? Like, if they heard a Radio 4 comedy and somebody said Waitrose, would anybody go, I think that's the only supermarket that's available?
Well, it is now because they brought the coffee, but the free coffee back.
Oh, Jeff, God, Jeff, you don't know what you've just done.
Brought that back today. Lucky I had my cup with me. I went back to the car, got my cup, and went back in again. And
is the coffee back?
Yeah, that's what I just said. The free coffee is back.
Is it only just come back after the pandemic?
Yeah, yeah. Take your cup in. They've opened up those machines again. Oh, I was in. I had my free coffee.
Some of us, Sally, don't have a Waitrose near us.
I've got about three.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So Waitrose, therefore, is the only supermarket when you're listening to Radio 4. It's not really. Okay. Anyway, here we go. All right, we have Brexit or Remain. Remain.
I, you know, at the risk of losing 52%, your listeners probably not. But yeah, well, I mean, I voted for Brexit, but equally, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's all gone perfectly.
Do you still stand by it then?
Well, I stand by the fact that I voted for it because that's what I wanted at the time. Yeah. So I struggle with hypotheticals, you know, because you get a lot of people, and this will be blokes, right? They're normally blokes around my age. And what they say is, so you know, given what you know now, Jeff, and what they really say is, I think you should regret it. And you go, all right, if that's what I get that that's what you think, but I don't know if I get political, but the problem is every time I think of being back in the EU, I don't like the idea. You know, so you might have been in a relationship sometime, which was undeniably financially a better idea, but you don't necessarily always want to be in that relationship because there were things wrong. But look, you know, I'm just trying to think, my son will listen to these podcasts eventually. Aww. So can we just do an edit where I go, I voted Remain.
I think when it's like when you're younger and you get pissed and you think it's a really good idea to get a tattoo and you think, I'm really sticking by this. And then a few years down the line, you really regret getting a tattoo of a ghost on your ass holding a banana.
It could be our tattoo. But then I also think that the only thing that people respect less than a bad decision is when you sort of welch on it. You know, I think they go, no, if he's made a shit decision, I want him to stand by the shit. If my son's listening, I was a key figure in the Remain argument.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, then, free milk for kids or not?
Which kids and for how long are we means testing?
There's no straight answer with you, is there? Like the 70s.
Well, this is probably, see, with comics, they'd always go for the easy option. They'll go, oh, free milk for kids. What does this cost? You know what I mean? Could we, if we don't give free milk to all kids, give more to the poorest kids? That's the question I'm asking.
But then people, could they have free kids want it, won't they?
What if we didn't give free milk to all kids, but for the most poorest kids, we could give free milk and a cereal bar, maybe a tracker chocolate chip?
But how do they prove?
That's how conservatives think. You know, it's not always about denying people stuff. It's like, why do? I mean, for example, how many pensioners? Right. See, you've got me on politics. They just all get their 200 quid, don't they? Yeah. And they're off on a fucking another Viking River cruise yet again.
and with their lovely pensions from working in the public sector.
It is so, you know, I do find an issue when there is, I understand that means testing can be tricky, but when there's a universal benefit and you just know, like, You just, I mean, there's another example of this. It's sort of related, but not in a way. But the, you know, when the key workers thing was happening?
Yeah.
And like you see people going, just want to thank the NHS and our key workers, thanks to the NHS and our. And then you suddenly started interrogating this whole key workers thing and you thought, this is quite a broad idea, isn't it? You know, and suddenly people, you go, there's suddenly people who were taking their kids to school still and you're going, you're not a key worker.
Yeah.
You know, it got a bit tenuous. So,
but that's what will happen if you start saying free milk for the sort of the kids from deprived backgrounds and stuff, because then other people will go, well, I think I'm slightly deprived, so I think I can get you. You've got to, yeah. How do you prove it?
Exactly. So you'll have kids, middle class parents are among the most ruthless in society. They'll be saying to their kids, you go and you pretend that you're thirsty. You pretend, just walk funny, like you need the calcium.
See, that's what's going to happen.
Sally,
I've got one more question.
Yes, ask the last question. Come on, Sally.
Sally?
It's a possible answer.
No, it's not.
It tends. Well, I say,
you haven't answered anything straight, though, have you?
Lou seems to want it more and often believe if someone just wants it, give it to them.
So, I was sort of thinking, oh, it's definitely me, so I wasn't trying. That's the problem.
Well, then you don't deserve it with that sort of
thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. don't you think that in life, if someone just really wants something, just fucking give it to them? Do you know what I mean?
Well, it depends what it is, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does depend what it is, because there's so...
It can't be that cut and dry, Jeff. And also, you've got to look into it properly.
Yeah.
What is in
you've
it
got
for
means
you?
System.
Yeah, what is in it for you if you choose me or look, you know? You've got to think about that.
I'd give you dry roasted peanuts any day of the week, Jeff, if you...
There's about three Waitrose within distance of my home.
Look, I mean, it has to come down, you know, given my policies, it has to come down to money now. I'm moving in with Sally. So.
Yeah, there we go, Lou. Sorry about
the Waitrose
because she's got more money.
Well, she's near Waitrose, and I'm seeing that Zoopla value estimate go up in my mind's eye.
Yeah, but my partner really likes football, so...
It's true. But then my nephew used to play for Oxford United.
Well, my partner's niece plays for Arsenal Girls and was in the World Cup thing.
Your partner, though, but they're not blood related to you. They are to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think... I don't know why this has made me so uncomfortable. This here. For the guy that was, unwilling
desperate
to.
Desperate middle-aged women, desperate for your affections. Nay!
We're comedians, though. I mean, that is built into us, isn't it? Like, who was I talking to the other day? He's like, you know that thing when you kind of come off stage and you're the last act on? And so the compere's kind of wrapping up and they're saying, give us a cheer for all the acts you've seen tonight. So even if you've opened a discussion with somebody backstage, you're desperately trying to not show that you're listening out for your applause. And then you go, yeah, so like, it's a thing. But and then at the moment you hear your name, you basically glitch like a computer game.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 because you just have to know. And you have to know, where do I fit into this? It's brutal, really, stand up like that, isn't it? You know.
Mm.
Especially if you go on last as well. If you go on first, you get the night going. But if you go on last, there's the expectation that you should be better. You know, you should have had a better response than anybody else. That's why you're on at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I find it difficult if you get that kind of...
One clap.
The person in the middle, and you go, he was only doing a 10.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it was all quite like I've heard it all before as well, what they were doing. Yeah, it's nothing new.
In actual fact,
they did better than everyone, and that quite rightly they got the louder applause as well. We've got to do a cocktail for Jeff. It's gonna have lager in it.
Gotta have lager in it, hasn't it?
Put a bit of lager. What's it gonna be called?
Blue balls.
That is actually a really good name for a cocktail.
Because it's got football, it's got conservatives, you've got to have balls to do what you do. So fuck it.
Blue balls. A glass of blue balls, please, mate.
Yeah.
I think that has got, and also maybe it's got something
quite
in
British,
it.
British, isn't it? Blue blood.
Blue curacao,
royalty. That's what I was thinking of.
Do you know what you should have in it? Mustard. Like just something like that's a bit of a challenge to masculinity. Like, can you handle the blue balls?
Yeah, can you handle the blue balls?
How many blue balls did you have? Yeah. Have another one. Come on. Yeah.
With like that Coleman's mustard powder on the top of it. So not actual.
No, I want a lump of mustard in it.
Oh, dear.
Maybe. You know, like with tequila, you dab the salt and whatever. Maybe you snort the mustard powder.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yes.
Yeah,
the blue balls. Can you handle the? Can you handle the blue balls?
Yeah, I'm going to write this down.
Can you have a roast potato afterwards instead of the lemon? Roast potato.
Just a whole roast. Eat it like an apple.
Yeah.
a slice of packet beef.
Is it just lager then in the actual drink? Is it, or they need a shot of something?
Well, it'd be
really,
lager, tequila.
Yeah, maybe a bit of tequila in there. Yes.
With the blue curacao or whatever it's called. Just give it
to give it the colour.
Yeah.
I see cherries, as a cocktail.
Two cherries.
I wouldn't feel too self-conscious as a bloke about ordering that. Can I get a blue balls, mate?
Yeah, you'd be all right there, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Say and also, loudly. My wife said the other day she didn't really know the blue balls thing. So you know that pathetic thing that teenage boys would do to girls, and apparently it still happens, where they start telling the girls, so if they've been snogging and stuff, they've had an erection for a while, and they go, well, I need to, you know, because I was get blue balls. And like that, just blokes, if only blokes could apply that level of kind of cunning in other areas. Like, it's just such a blag, isn't it? You know, if I don't, you know what I mean? Like, my balls might, you know, it's actually really harmful. Amazing that any bloke still gets away with that in the age of Google.
Is that not a thing then? Because I thought that was real, because my partner says that to me all of the time.
Yeah, he's lying, isn't he?
Okay.
Oops.
Tricky. Yeah. It's a tricky moment in the podcast, that.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay.
Is he there? We can bring him.
No, I've put him outside.
He's carrying him around like fucking...
He is, actually. He's wheeling a wheelbarrow around at the moment, probably with his bollocks in. And you wait, Jeff.
Blue. It's cold.
Oh,
blue,
well,
right?
Yeah. Gotta learn. Do you know what, Jeff? It's been lovely.
We've got to do spit or swallow.
Oh, God, yeah.
Before we finish. Is it a spit or a swallow? The Peroni.
Well, it's a swallow, isn't it? It's a classy beer.
Of course it is. Although I can't drink, I can't drink much beer because I get ever so full up.
Well, you've got bright red as well, Sally. Oh,
I know, and I've got the fire on, haven't I? Which was a mistake. And a big, thick Canadian shirt on.
Just drop the Canadian bit in.
The heating problem is no problem for me here either, Jeff, when you're choosing who you like best.
She's not past it. She is not past it.
She won't ever be. She won't ever be, Jeff.
Is there a chance that I could plug my podcast if people are into the earthy... every man way that I interface with politics in a very partially informed way, very partially informed, not really informed, in what most people think. So I have guests on, and I have guests on lefties, righties, centrist dads. I've had fucking Owen Jones. I shouldn't say that. I've had Owen Jones on, you know, I've had Owen Jones on.
Great.
No, I've had quite a few left. I've had David Baddiel, you know. And then, you know, people that are more on the sort of scene of the right on comedy, like Leo Kirst, Simon Evans, and stuff like that. So, I like just having a chat with anybody.
What's it called again?
What Most People Think. But, okay. I mean, listen, the way the polls are going, it isn't what I think is no longer what most people think. No. So it's been an interesting journey.
It has. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast, Jeff. What a treat.
Thank you.
You've been brilliant. Thank you.
Keep your blue balls warm.
Keep your blue balls warm.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or recommendations of your own, or you feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are @LouAndSally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. Or email us at spitorswallowpodcast34, that's the numbers 34, @gmail.com.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe and leave us a review, because this helps other people find us.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/spitorswallowpodcast, where you can find some bonus content.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you lot for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye!